Welcome to the Oddity Film Society podcast for December 11th, 2023. We are recording in room 305 of E.L. Crosley Secondary School on Highway 20 in Pelham, Ontario. Is it Pelham or Fonthill?
It's Ridgeville.
It's Ridgeville. No, it's not.
I think it's Ridgeville.
No.
I want to say it's Fonthill. Because, like, most of the time, whenever someone says, is talking about Crosley, it's like,
I'm
looking
Font
Hill. So.
Yeah, it's on the hill.
It's Ridgeville.
It is not.
It is.
Okay. It says school in Pelham, Ontario, if you look it up.
Okay, but Pelham is, like, a general place that contains Font Hill and Ridgeville. I'm pretty sure it's Ridgeville.
Okay.
We don't necessarily want to get too specific, though, because then murderers might come and get us, you know?
That's what I'm hoping.
Yes.
Before Christmas.
Yeah, we could have like our own little like Christmas horror slasher movie. That would be real life. And outside, the weather is
cloudy.
There's clouds.
It was snowing.
There's some wind. There was. I want snow.
Just a little bit.
I don't want snow.
Oh, it's still snowing.
Because then snow is Christmassy.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted snow days. We haven't had a snow day.
Yeah.
Where are snow days at?
I don't know. Personally, I like. I hate snow, but I need the snow for Christmas because if it does, there's no snow for Christmas, it doesn't feel like Christmas,
exactly.
And it like I can't get into the Christmas mood, which kind of just defeats the purpose of it all for me. And I'm kind of just like in a funk the whole time. And I'm
that's
like,
that's how I feel.
The snow. Like,
and Noreen really needs to worship Jesus.
Technically, Jesus wasn't born around Christmas.
I'm not gonna say anything.
Born on Christmas, that's the whole point of it.
No, and then it just puts me in a funk if there's no snow. And it's just like, well, I might as well, there's no point. You know?
No point Christmas for us.
Jesus was probably born in July.
Born on Christmas.
Well, it would be Christmas, it's just they don't know the date.
It doesn't
and so
matter.
They,
I don't
they set it in December July. Because
I'm going back to the point of what happened.
No,
Jesus. I can't speak. It'll pop up at the top. It'll say Ridgeville, Ontario.
Okay.
Because I live in Ridgeville, Ontario.
Okay. You still need to move closer.
Was Jesus born in Ridgeville?
Was he? No.
Or
he was born in Bethlehem.
Which, okay, and that's
Ontario.
And that's another thing I don't understand. I'm criticizing Christianity in like everyone that believes in Jesus, especially the white Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem, right? That's over in not white country.
Italy.
Why do people try and like portray him as like white skinned, blonde hair, blue eyed? Like
he's not blonde in most depictions. He's got like he's a brunette.
Yeah, but it's like a dirty blonde. But still,
no,
it's just dark. I don't know. But still, he's not gonna be white. He's not gonna have traditionally white features.
Definitely not.
The fact that people think he's white would be the miracle if he was, especially where he was born. That would be
maybe
the
that was the miracle.
That would be the miracle.
Look at this white kid.
Look at this white kid in the middle of everybody else. What the hell, man?
Well, he was only like half Jewish, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
Half Jewish, half God. So I don't know what color skin God's got. Maybe God has like the most white skin.
He has, so like, maybe transparent
skin.
Yeah. Just purely. he's not white. He's just made out of the frickin' sun. Don't be surprised.
So, yeah, the weather is not snowy. That's what we're talking about. And eventually we are going to speak about Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. But we'll introduce ourselves first. I'm Anderson.
I'm Noreen.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Ayla.
I am Vanessa.
And, okay. According to the Internet Movie Database, The Shining, as directed by Stanley Kubrick and starring Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall and Danny Lloyd and Scatman Crothers, a family heads to an isolated hotel for the winter where a sinister presence influences the father into violence while his psychic son sees horrific forebodings from about the past and the future. I can't speak and or read. What'd you guys think?
I love The Shining.
How many times have you seen it?
For sure twice, like fully through. I've seen bits and pieces. I put it on before bed a lot, so
okay.
Bits and pieces of it.
Okay. Comfort movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there a point that you usually fall asleep for?
No, I usually fast forward more like to the middle of the movie, though, when
okay.
I put it on.
All right.
Absolutely.
disappointed, honestly, because that was my first time watching it, and I expected more.
Yeah.
More, like, okay, so first time?
No, it's not my first time, okay, but it's first time all the way through, so I've seen it kind of parts of it before. I was just agreeing with her, because I feel a lot of the times movies, especially, like, the like classics like The Shining, they're overhyped, so then when you do watch it, it's kind of just kind of a letdown. So you're expecting it to be more. I don't exactly know like what you're expecting there to be more of, but you expect there to be it more, and there's not.
More blood and gore.
Okay. First time?
Third
time?
I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Third.
Were you let down on a first time watch?
No. Really liked it. I watched it when I was like 8.
Okay.
For the first
time. Was it like a family movie night?
Yeah. I really liked it. I was like obsessed with it for a while, and then I made my friend watch it. Yeah. So then that was the second time I watched it, and then it's been like years. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vanessa, can I call you Vanessa?
Sure.
Yeah. Can I call you Nessie?
No, you cannot. Okay.
Can I call you Danny?
No.
Essa. V.
Sure.
Was it your first time?
The first time whole way through, I watched bits and pieces of it, mainly because I'm bored.
Okay, but not bored enough to watch the whole thing?
No.
Okay, all right. So your first time and Lunchbox Letdown? Okay.
Yeah.
What were you expecting, or what would be the more that you were wanting?
Well, I wasn't aware that it was going to be more of like a psychological thriller, so I expected more gore, but even in the sense, it was like, oh, he's going insane. They could have depicted that more, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I do really like the movie. I think I love it. I don't think it's perfect. I think there's some definitely goofy bits, and I don't think that it's necessarily aged the best with some things. But I think for the most part, I think it's pretty outstanding. I like it as a psychological thriller. I like it as a weird little family movie. And I think it looks really good, and I think it sounds really good. Mm-hmm. He's having a good time over there. Okay, say specific things. Okay, Noreen, you were also expecting more when you watched it the first time. You're not sure what, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what I was expecting there to be, like, more of. I was just expecting it to be, like, maybe weirder than it was. Because, like, sure, it's a little bit kooky, I guess, for, like, a movie. But, and especially from that time, I don't really know. From 1980, but... I don't know. I just expected there to be a little bit more weird, I guess. Given, like, it's so hyped up and it's revered as, like, one of the classics. I don't know. I feel like the classics are good, don't get me wrong, but I just feel like they're overhyped. And I think not only just by everyone else that I hear, like, it from, but also from myself, because I'm like, oh, if it's that good, then it's, like, and I overhype it myself, so I kind of ruin it as well. But, yeah.
I think a lot of the classics end up being a disappointment when people finally get around to them. Like, I do think that our expectations go out of whack, but if something's a classic, a lot of people see it, and then it gets emulated, and usually the stuff that gets emulated is done, they do it more, they dial it up, and I think they also usually don't gravitate towards the stuff that actually made it amazing to begin with. I don't think it's the violence. I don't think it's the gore. I don't even think Stanley Kubrick was trying to make a horror movie. I think he was just trying to make a movie. And I think most classics, there's a filmmaker and they're like, I want to make a movie. And then, like, it might turn out to be drama, or it might be science fiction, or it might be fantasy, but they want to make a good movie. And then when it comes out, it's like, oh, it's this type of movie and it's popular, so let's see how we can kind of rip it off.
I think a lot of people also, like, expect perfection when it comes to, like, classics. Like, if there's anything wrong about it, it's like, oh, well, it doesn't deserve all this hype because it's not, like, a perfect movie. And also, like, people have expectations about it, so when they see it, like, their expectations are usually going to just be, like, a letdown when you finally watch it.
Yeah. And they might be groundbreaking when they come out, but then after 5 or 10 or, I don't know, how old,
like,
is this? This is...
80s?
40? Yeah, so this is like 40 years old. So, like, after 40 years, the stuff that made it a classic and made it groundbreaking, like, it's been cherry-picked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think still works?
I don't know. I feel like the whole, like, cabin fever thing that works with the isolation, because you still can see that. Because the over COVID, people went nuts. And so it's like the isolation. You couldn't go out anywhere. You couldn't talk to anybody. You couldn't whatever, whatever. So he ended up going nuts because he was there and there was no visitors or whatever, because he was doing the winter watch, I guess. I don't know what he was necessarily doing. I just know he was watching it over
caretaker.
The winter.
He was the caretaker for over the winter.
And so it's just like that still works, because it's just like that we can kind of all relate to now, especially after going through COVID. And then also, like, personally, I don't like men, and I still feel like the trope of abusive men works. Because I can kind of...
Because it's true?
Yeah.
I love the premise of them being locked in this hotel over winter. I think that's such a simple concept for a movie. And then, like, you add in cabin fever, and there's not a lot of explaining that has to happen. It's just kind of, like, naturally a really good setup.
I didn't expect it before I watched it. I thought it was going to be, like, just a regular, like, everyone was at the hotel. I didn't know that it was going to be, like, an isolation thing before I watched it.
Yeah, and I think I thought it was going to be more of a, like, a supernatural, like, a ghost sort of thing, which the book is. If you read Stephen King's book, like, they're very different. In the movie, I think there's a degree of, like, is what he's seeing, is it really there? Is it not? Is it in his head? Yeah. To what degree is his kid psychic? Is Jack the dad psychic too? But, like, it plays with that psychological stuff. But the novel is very clearly, this is supernatural. I think there's even, like, that there are, like, shrub monsters that come out of the maze at the end. What?
No, it's just because my mom hates this version of the movie. She likes the other one. I don't know what the other one, who the director is.
Oh, it was like a made-for-TV piece of garbage.
Whatever. But she likes that one better, and she wanted to make me watch it when I was like 10 years old. And so I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. I want something new to watch. And so I go to watch it, and, like, it's so boring at the beginning. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just, like, my child mind is just, like, I need to be stimulated. What is going on? It's so boring. But I got to the part where there was those shrub things, and so that just reminded me.
It is... Bye!
I'll be back.
Okay! There are a lot of people that like the other one, the remake, because it does follow the book a lot more closely. It's not very good. If you want to see the book made into images that move, I guess you could like it. But I really like this as an idea, where it's like Stanley Kubrick is inspired by the Shining book, but then it's like it's his version.
His own take.
Stephen King hates it. Hates it.
It didn't, and then isn't that why because he tried to make his own thing and it sucked ass, especially since that was his he was still in his like little drug era.
Yeah, he was on a lot of cocaine at that time. He actually directed a movie to Stephen King. It's a horrible, horrible disaster. It's called Maximum Overdrive. It's amazing and how horrible it is. The premise is a comet is going by the Earth, and all of a sudden, like, all machines end up having, like, a mind and a life of their own. So, like, cars come alive, and there'll be, like, lamps trying to strangle people with their cords. And
what?
It's pretty, it's pretty fun and just so bonkers. You can tell that it was made by somebody that was doing a lot of cocaine. Apparently Stephen King didn't even know that he made the movie. He was so high. It's like, yeah, you remember when you made that movie? And he's like, no. Like, Maximum Overdrive? No, don't recall.
Well, good thing he's clean now, I guess.
And then there's like little points apparently, I think that Kubrick knew that Stephen King wasn't a fan of how he was adapting it, so Kubrick put in, like, little jabs, like, the car that they're driving, I think it was yellow in the original, and then I think Kubrick made it red, And then there's the part where Scatman Crothers is going to save them. And there's a car accident, and then like that has the yellow car in it. So it's like Cooper decided to destroy the car as like a way of saying, like, this is my movie, not yours. Okay. So the setup, the, what about the setting, the Overlook?
I was gonna say, I just really like the aesthetic of everything.
It's
like,
so pretty.
Yeah.
The carpet.
I wanna live there.
Mm-hmm. Carpet's like carpet. Iconic.
It's a carpet. Why do you want the
yeah,
carpet?
But it's like
the design of like
it's a
those
carpet.
Like
it's cool.
Yeah, but it's a really neat carpet.
What? Where else have you seen a carpet like that with that kind of shape in it? Now those
exactly.
Like those colors.
And the orange and the brown. It's so ugly. It's my screensaver actually. Well, not my screensaver. It's my background. Some people suggest that the carpet was chosen because it's got some sort of like sexual imagery going on.
I need to look it up.
Oh, they've sexualized the carpet. Okay.
Delightful.
Like, on the carpet? No, like, just, like, that it's, like,
does it,
it's, like, phallic.
Does it look like something?
I'm not
yeah,
saying that I...
Yes, I guess.
I can see it, I guess, if somebody points it out.
But not
but,
really.
Like, I that's not a conclusion that I would come to.
Only if you really try to, like,
yeah.
make it. Because unless you don't try, it's, like, who's gonna think of that?
It doesn't... I don't know. Yeah.
I think the majority of the scenes aren't actually filmed at the hotel they use for the outside. They're sets. And to make it look like they're not sets, they just set up lights outside to blast light into the room. So, like, it always has this kind of, like, I don't know, like a bright kind of, like, airiness to it. And then the sets and how they, like, travel around the building, the architecture makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
So like as they like turn around a corner and then you see them like come around the corner, like that the corner that they come around is not attached to the corner that they walked towards.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything's all disjointed. And at the beginning when he goes for his interview, they end up in a room that has an impossible window in it. So like they're walking through and the office is in the middle of the building, but there's a window facing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like,
oh, yeah.
So like you can't do it. And I wonder if...
Is that on purpose or...
I don't know if it's on purpose or not. But I think the effect, even if you're not picking up on it, I think you might subconsciously, like things don't make sense. And so
mm-hmm.
it kind of disorients you.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Never know.
One thing I think they did good in the movie is like the music and background they have, like
the
drumming,
score.
It kind of induced like anxiety, just like a heartbeat kind of thing.
Yeah. The score is amazing. There's lots of good like orchestral bits, like when they're traveling through, and you get that really nice overhead shot
mm-hmm.
Of them traveling through the mountains, and like that score. But then there's also like weird score that sounds like bees, and then there's a lot of percussive stuff. Like there's a lot of variety to the score, and so I think like that sound design is awesome. I love the scenes where Danny is riding his little tricycle
mm-hmm.
or his big wheel through, and he goes from the hardwood and it's so loud to the carpet.
Yeah.
And then the hardwood and then the mm-hmm. carpet. Oh, that sounds so good. And then like he's traveling around and like he'll like go out of sight and then all of a sudden he's like upstairs
mm-hmm.
and then like in like these different parts, and so like his traveling through the hotel is completely impossible too, which is great. What still works for you guys?
For me, I feel like most of it does.
Okay.
I like it a lot. Not the slurs.
Don't want to. I was gonna say. I feel like I don't know. Like it held up for me at least. Like,
well, I think this
is a strange plot point.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
It is unnecessary, but it's a bad person saying
yeah.
it, right? So, like, this is a guy who chopped up his family,
yeah.
and he uses it. So, like, I don't think that you're supposed to...
Yeah.
I think that word... it is unnecessary,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I don't think that it's promoting a racist ideology.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Danny used it, then maybe. Or if his mom. I think she's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think her performance still stands up, and Shelley Duvall, I think.
Yes, yes it is.
I think she's incredible in it. Like her anxiety and her fear, I think, really comes
through. Well, was it like
it
real?
I googled it so I could talk about it for the podcast. It's real.
Okay, they talk about like,
they treated her like shit on set. I'm sorry for swearing. I know we're not supposed to. But they treated her like actual garbage. Like, they isolated her. Stanley Kubrick made sure that nobody in the cast or in the, like, directing, like, the filming people would talk to her. And it's like, so they isolated her on purpose. They would constantly make her reshoot scenes and, like, not tell her necessarily what was wrong. Or they would just constantly tell her, like, this was wrong, this was wrong, you suck, you can't do this. And they would also, like, that Stanley Kubrick would, like, praise Jack Nicholson. Like, oh my gosh, you did so good. Like, this part was great. The emotion you put into this was great. But then, like, not say anything to her. But compliment Stanley. Compliment Jack in front of her and just treat her badly. And so her anxiety, her fear, her everything was, especially for that like bat swinging scene, that was real because they had to refilm it so many times just so that it was real because it wasn't good enough, apparently.
Yeah.
So he tortured her.
Yeah.
Stanley Kubrick did. But the performance that he got was amazing.
It was really good, but like, so you're saying it was worth it?
No, I'm asking you.
No.
If torturing somebody, and they are like, it's not like he killed her. It's not like he physically hurt her. For art,
I think it really like affected. Like had like a long term effect.
Oh, it
on
did.
Her.
Yeah.
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 So I'd say no.
There's not a reason why you don't see her in a love.
No, exactly. Like, I would say no. I feel like that's just like wrong. It's like you're torturing someone for other people's entertainment, and it just feels
like if she gave her consent to be tortured, whereas if she was like, oh, I work better when I'm being tortured.
And I also read this thing where it's just like, because of how she was treated and all that stuff, and she was constantly tired and all that stuff, and, like, overworked, she would cry all the time, and because of, like, she was, like, happy and, like, kind of, like, you know, innocent, which, by the way, is another point that I can come back to later, kind of portrayal at the beginning. She's all, like, la, 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 you know, like, a happy, good mom, but, like, best friends with Danny, you know, that's how usually, like, whatever, kind of wary of Jack, but, she said something about her body being tired of that, because your body isn't meant to like be crying and under all that stress every single day, and so because of that also she cried because of that, so it's just like everything, and I just feel bad for her. And the innocence thing, which is one of the things that Stephen King didn't like about this one apparently, is because of the portrayal of Wendy. She was very innocent and like age regressed, I guess. She was very like infantized, I guess, and like she was very like frail, like damsel in distress type thing, and Stephen King didn't like that because I guess that's not how she was portrayed in the book, and so it's just like really weird, I guess. Yeah,
I'm okay with that choice for the movie though, because it gives her ability to defend herself, and Danny I think seems even more formidable because she like that doesn't seem like her character. But she's able to hold it together. So, and it also, I think it heightens maybe the trauma, because she's in peril, and she doesn't look and act like she'd be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And she does. I think Stephen King's other problem with it is that casting Jack Nicholson, like as soon as you see him, you're like, that guy's already crazy.
Yeah.
And so I think his performance is really good, but at the same time, when he does go crazy, it's not like you weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
I feel like I already knew that kind of what happens, but yeah, I was watching this, and so then when he did go crazy, that was part of the letdown for me, I think, is just like, oh, he's supposed to go nuts, but it's just kind of like, he already looks like a creepy dude, like, so then when he goes crazy, it's kind of a letdown, it's just like, oh, he already looks like that.
Maddie, do you have anything to add about Jack Nicholson's casting, or?
I think it was great casting.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, of course
it did. Yeah. Do you think he could have acted his way so that he would look less mm-hmm. like he was going to go nuts? Like,
I feel like during the first interview, he could have toned it down a
yeah.
bit.
Who's that? Is that Mr. Rossini?
I don't think so.
You can go and check if you want to.
Something.
Oh, Phil, if it's Rossini, I'm gonna sob.
Anybody performances?
Adding on to Shelley Duvall's, I liked her like hand movements. Like I noticed them. Like it was something I noticed. Like she was like fidgeting with like her mm-hmm. hand and her fingers mm-hmm. and stuff, and like. I feel like that's, like, what I do if I'm, like, stressed or something or, like, anxious. And I just, like, really notice that because, like, mm-hmm. I feel like it's not something you'd, like, pay attention to that much. But
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, like a good, authentic
detail
to
your thoughts.
Speaking of something like that, when Danny sees the first, like, vision of what happens at the hotel or whatever and he passes out in the bathroom mm-hmm. or whatever from the shock and, like, the all that, the doctor lady comes in, and then Shelley, like, Wendy and the doctor are having, like, the conversation in the living room about, like, so, Tony, blah, 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 that whole thing, and she starts going on about how, like, the first injury that Danny got mm-hmm. from Jack or whatever, mm-hmm. I felt like she did really good acting with her eyes, because it's like she's, yeah. like, her eyes were darting all over, and, like, everything like that, like, when you're talking about something that you're uncomfortable with and you're nervous about and you're kind of like, oh, I don't really want to talk about it because yeah. it's not really a good thing. You kind of like, you do that. You don't want to make eye contact. You kind of just like, mm-hmm. you try to brush it off or whatever. And I thought that was just like a really good detail.
I think the kid was really, really good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he was protected by Kubrick quite a bit. Kubrick didn't want this to scar him. He was okay scarring Shelley Duvall. She's an adult lady.
It's fine.
But
who cares
yeah.
about women?
Yeah, Danny's okay.
For being so young, too.
Mm-hmm. I think he does, the Tony thing really well.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. I think all the performances, for the most part, are really natural.
Yeah.
In a way that it doesn't seem like acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems, I don't know, like you're just capturing people.
Yeah.
Even, like, Jack with, like, he's dialing it up a lot, but it does still feel mm-hmm. more real than putting on a performance.
Mm-hmm. Especially for like a lot of movies, like in the 80s, where it's like obvious that they're acting.
Yeah.
Like especially like horror, I feel like in general, they really used to overdo it.
This will be maybe a point that doesn't need to be said, and I'm not even sure if I should be saying it, but I think Shelley Duvall just looks neat.
She's like Anya Taylor-Joy and like Mia Goth, I feel like, just they're, mm-hmm. and they look weird, but in a good way.
Yeah, like, but she's so distinct, and mm-hmm. and like, she's so thin and kind of like mousy, and I feel like that all really works. Even like, mm-hmm. when she's like her movements are like, she almost looks like she's made out of like plasticine.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, when she was, like, running, like, away from Jack and running up the stairs, like, there's, like, a frantic,
yeah.
I don't know, nebulousness to her body. Like, it's just, I can't really define it, mm-hmm. but I think that she's really neat.
I really like the outfits, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Shelley Duvall, and I also, like, for Jack, like, I love the red kind of jacket that he wears, mm-hmm. like, the dark red jacket. I like that jacket a lot.
I like Danny's costume.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there's a little, like, he's wearing, an Apollo sweater at one point, with, like, a rocket ship on it, and apparently that's supposed to be, some people would say that, it was Stanley Kubrick trying to communicate that he helped stage the lunar landing. There's a theory that the lunar landing is not real, mm-hmm. and that Kubrick directed it, and so that was his way of, like, just putting something out there. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's not true, but...
I don't think so either. But anyways, to your point about the outfits with Shelley Duvall's, something I noticed was that at the beginning, before they go to the hotel, her one outfit, like when she's still... It's the same outfit she was using to talk to the doctor with about Danny's thing. it was like a blue, or was it a blue shirt and then it was a red dress on top, or was it a red shirt and then like a red dress? I think it was red and then her tights were red and then it was like a blue on top.
Yeah.
And then it's something similar as well when she's playing in the maze with him. It's like, and then they also kind of match, like her and Danny kind of match in that maze scene where she's wearing that blue and red still, and he's kind of got the red jacket or whatever it is, and then like the blue jeans and as well, and they've got like similar colored boots, and they're both kind of like a brown color. I just thought that was cute, like a little matching thing.
I really like the transition from, I don't know what it starts with and what it ends with, but it's effectively Jack like watching, like he's looking at the maze model,
mm-hmm.
and then he sees them in like that transition.
Yeah,
I think is really fun. Do you think Jack has the Shining? Because I think we're supposed to, like, he's supposed to see them in that maze, right? When he's looking at the model, like, he sees them in the model,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
And then, like, that makes him a little sensitive to the spirits of the hotel. Or do the spirits seek him out?
I think it's a little bit of both, honestly.
I love the bartender.
Yeah.
He is... possibly the creepiest thing in the movie for me. He doesn't blink.
I didn't notice that.
Me either.
He does not blink.
He just stares into your soul.
Yeah, and he's so... Like, he's always smiling, but, like,
he's
one note.
He's like, monotone.
Yeah.
It's weird, but awesome at the same time.
And who's the waiter? Grady?
Yeah. He's very Prince Charles adjacent.
Yeah. In a good way?
You can take it like that.
Okay. Their conversation in the bathroom is possibly my favorite scene. And the bathroom, that red bathroom.
Oh, the bathroom's so weird. Everything looks so small compared to them.
Mm-hmm. And the whole, like, correcting the family. It's a good euphemism. Do you guys have favorite scenes? Or should we talk about what didn't work?
Start criticizing the movie. Please.
Well, I kind of gave my thoughts from that beginning.
The shot of the skeletons in the hotel at the end... that Wendy sees as she's running through, and it's like the hotel is like, I guess, showing her its past, I think is pretty cheesy. All the skeletons and the cobwebs and stuff, it's just, I don't know, it's goofy.
Or sometimes I didn't like, there were like random bits that I feel like didn't fit together, like at the very end they're showing the photo on the wall, which from like 1920s, I think? Like
1921.
Yeah, and Jack's in it. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I think it's supposed to be that, like, Jack's always been there. Like, that's what Grady says. You've always been the caretaker. Do you think you're supposed to take the photograph literally?
I'm kind of dumb. So, the first time that I saw that scene... I thought, because as like I took this as he was getting, like, he's possessed by the evil that left in the hotel or whatever, and so then I took that as like the photograph like changing because of the evil spirit to portray him, because I feel like, because to me, for some reason, I don't know why, but in that picture at the end, I'm like, oh, that's just Grady, but because Grady killed somebody and now it's Jack, I feel like it just changed it, but it just left everything else to be the same. I don't know why, but that's what I thought. Like, but that's from when I was really young, and that was the first time I saw it. A little bit silly, but yeah.
I like that interpretation. I think that could work. Or, I don't know, if it's literal reincarnation.
I actually had a theory about the painting. I talked to my dad about that when I was driving home. I thought it was either reincarnation or, like, the spirit of the original person, like the original caretaker from 1921, mm-hmm. like possessed Jack.
Okay.
And gave him the exact same mindset.
Okay.
Or reincarnation. Reincarnation's fine too. We're good with reincarnation.
I want to go with Noreen's.
I think that's what I thought too, like the first time I watched it when I was little.
Is what you think now?
No, it's like what?
No, but like, is, oh, like, what do you think now? Did your opinion change?
I don't know. Now I'm kind of just like, I don't know.
Okay. So the big stunt, I think, was the elevator scene.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
I love the scene, but I hate the scene at the same time, because why is the blood so watery? Everybody knows that the blood is not that watery. Is that the elevator?
If you have, like, that much. Yeah.
I don't know. You got a lot of blood. It stains the walls. And then when it runs up the camera lens, it does coat it.
I know, but still, it's just like, I feel like it's a little bit too watery for my liking, but that's all.
That amount of blood did get watery after a while.
I worked at a slaughtering factory for a while, and when you slice the throat of something, it pours out like water.
Okay.
It does. It's awesome.
Okay, not the words that I would use.
Okay,
but
well, okay, it looked too fake for me. It didn't look real, so.
So it does look liquidy. I like the detail that whatever they use for it, it does, like, stain the walls. It's not like it just, like, runs up the wall. It's not, like, it's not colored water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does stain it. And the detail that, like, there's so much blood that it picks up the furniture and moves it around, I think is great. And I love, so I showed you the trailer before we watched it. Did you like it?
I do.
I did. I think it makes no sense for the movie.
But there's, it's just that one thing.
Yeah.
I love just the elevator. The name of, I would be okay with nothing else, but like it like has like quotes about it, and I don't like that. I would just like just the elevator, that amazing score that sounds like buzzing and bugs, and then the blood, and then just The Shining.
Yeah,
that's.
I think it would get me to watch the movie if I hadn't seen it.
Like, well, it's so
out of context.
Yeah.
I feel like that could also be why people like expect more gore and stuff.
Yeah,
like if that's the only thing that they've seen from it.
True, if that's your central image. What do you think about the rescue attempt?
Oh,
dear Lord.
I feel like that happens in like every single horror movie in the 80s. There's always someone who like, there's always like some innocent guy, and then he goes and tries to save them, and then he dies. It happens
right away.
All of them. Yeah, and it's so like predictable. I don't like that.
Okay.
That's like the one.
Well, he started shouting in an echoey place.
Yeah. You knew they were like.
He knew something was wrong, and he still shouted, and it echoes. He's the chef there. He should know the place echoes.
And how didn't he hear Jack coming? He was dragging his leg behind him and like,
because that's usually what happens.
Stumbling.
In old movies like that. There's usually one person who's dumb enough to do that and not listen to their surroundings.
Maybe the hotel was making it so he couldn't hear. I wonder if that could have happened. Could he have been? He could have been distracted, right? He's got The Shining.
Yeah.
The hotel could have been messing with him. He also said that there was nothing to worry about to Danny.
Yeah.
That was a lie.
Is that lies?
That was a lie. And we love people who lie to children. That's usually what happens in old movies. There's usually a child or a young adult, and then there's somebody older, and they know what's going to happen, or they have some speculation of something's going to go wrong. And they, don't worry, we'll be okay. You're lying. It's a cold, hard lie.
Well, I mean, maybe he said that because Danny has trauma now, obviously, even more so than before, but he is okay. He didn't get hurt. Maybe that's what he meant. I don't know.
I mean, physically, he's okay. Sure. Mentally, not so much.
Not
obviously,
everybody.
No.
Not everybody who stays there becomes a raving lunatic, though.
Mm-hmm.
And was he even, like, conscious most of the time, or was it Tony that was, like, because will he even remember a lot of, like, the parts of it where, like, Tony's, like, fronting, like, for him?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's another thing that I thought of, because I'm a little stupid and it only clicked, I guess. when it was like the last like half an hour of the movie that Tony is like a trauma response, and it's like a DID kind of like switch of a personality, like once something like gets bad and bad or whatever, and it's like Danny's child brain can't handle it, Tony takes over to protect Danny, and I didn't realize that that would what that was until later, and I was like, I'm an idiot. But I just
that's okay.
I just think that's I don't want to say nice portrayal because like that's awful because he had got so much trauma from that whole like incident with his like shoulder being broken that Tony became a thing, and then like yeah that whole thing happened, but then he's like he has something to protect him from further trauma, so I don't know. I liked it, but I just feel bad for the kid because who knows how he'll happen. He's going to be like that for the rest of his life now. I just feel bad because he's a child. He didn't deserve that.
The scene where the guy is laying like on the bed and like watching like the news or something and his dogs are just like in front of the TV, that upsets me.
Yeah?
Yeah. He has very long feet.
Okay. I'm not sure that I understand his art choice.
That's what I was thinking, too, because at first I was like, what is that? And then it zooms out, and I was like, okay, fair enough. And then there's a second one.
I don't know why that's a choice.
Mm-hmm. At least...
You know what this room needs? A naked lady above the bed.
And also one above the TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes him seem more, like, freaky than he has to be.
Yeah.
Like,
shouldn't he be nice?
Yeah.
And, like, what do women think? If they visit his bedroom.
It's not, it's not even like there's diversity in those pictures. They're both black women, so I don't know. If he's trying to be like, I only like black women, ladies. I don't know. Like, just that just makes it even more weird, if that's the whole thing.
Yeah, so you don't like his feet?
Yeah, upset me.
Okay.
Who does like feet? Feet are disgusting.
I don't like feet. I'm okay. Ayla some people really love feet.
Some people love feet.
Ayla loves feet.
Just pathetic.
No, guys. No, this is lies.
What's your favorite kind of feet? Do you like short toes or long toes?
None.
Do you like it when the pointer toe is bigger than
the big toe? No, because everyone's pointer toe is bigger than the big toe. Like, so many people's. Not mine.
Mine's not.
No, but, like, I feel like most people's are. Mine are, like...
Don't whip them out in front of her.
No, I think we're the same.
Yeah, mine are like downward slant.
That's mine are best feet.
She's never gonna beat the foot fetish allegations.
I'm really good at.
I know what I'm
really
gonna
get
for
at
Christmas.
What? Foot?
No, yeah.
Foot?
Just like just a foot. Just a severed foot.
I'm really good at gripping stuff with my feet.
Me too. I can open like a twist door with my feet.
I probably could too. I can grab.
Yeah. You grab lots of. It takes lots of practice.
Mm-hmm. Do you like a high arch?
What?
Do you like a high arch? Or like flat feet? Or like style?
I don't know.
You're not choosing?
I don't know.
Okay.
No.
Do, like,
do
wide
I
or
like
narrow?
Or do I have. What?
Wide or narrow feet?
Narrow. No. No feet.
Is there anything else to talk about?
I do have a long ass review on Letterboxd, but a lot of the stuff is like stuff we've already covered, and the computer is charging because it was almost dead.
Okay.
So I can read that at the end, I guess, if we remember.
That's up to you.
Okay. I will read it at the end then.
Okay. Scoring it?
I gave it a 4.
Okay.
Because it's a good movie, but I don't think I'll necessarily watch it again, and I don't know, there's just something lacking. I feel like it's just lacking something for me.
Okay. I'm a 4.5. I like it. It's a good time, as Maddie might say. It's one of those movies that has a pace that makes me feel all warm and kind of like almost sleepy. It's got that comforting slow pace. I think it's shot really well. And it feels like a movie that was made with patience. And I'm really sad that Shelley Duvall was tortured in the making of it.
Are you sure you feel bad? Because their performance is good, though.
Her performance is good.
Oh, wait.
Sometimes.
Something I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
It's like the one scene in the movie is like had the most takes out of any movie ever, apparently. Mm. It was 148 takes. So, I feel like...
What, the stair scene?
No, it was... Here, wait.
Kubrick apparently was... That's one of his things.
It was between Danny and Dick.
Hollerman?
Yeah, Hollerman. Yeah.
Which one was it?
It was the dialogue scene. Huh.
Is there a picture of it when you go into
There's
images?
Probably a video. Here, wait. Let me pull it up. It
makes me really curious what the other takes would be like.
I know, because... Yeah.
And how different they would be. Just to, like, what would Kubrick be looking for that he wasn't getting that he would need to take?
148
over
is so
especially
excessive.
For a kid,
it's,
too.
I wonder if that's, like, why? Like, if they were, like... Danny Bond. Whoa, he's talking. What is this? Not communicating. This one. Oh, about Shining, I guess. Yeah. Scatman and Danny's really. It's that one. Seems like an interesting one.
Seems like a weird scene to obsess over.
Yeah. I wonder if the problem was with Danny or if it was Scatman. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Kubrick was not always very clear about what he wanted his actors to do. About the time, apparently, he would just say, act better. We're doing it again. Do better. That's not a lot
great
of
great advice.
Yeah.
Seems like a good guy.
That's what I would feel.
I think he was more concerned with things other than the acting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, and so he maybe treated actors like you would treat like a pet or something, or like a doll.
Yeah.
So four.
Five.
4.5.
Okay.
3.
Oh, okay. That's more than
I
thought.
I just think it could have done better.
Can we hear a reason?
Okay.
I was expecting something that was actually scary, and it wasn't.
I think that most of the time, at least for me, I don't find a lot of movies scary unless they deal with, like, real life things. And then it's the kind of scary that I don't want. I don't want real scares. I think that, I think usually most horror movies aren't that scary.
I'm the same.
I agree.
But I like them anyways. I think they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen anything that scares you?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. Do you like jump scares?
I haven't really seen anything.
Okay. Okay. How would you score it?
4.5.
Okay.
It was a good movie. Could get better, honestly.
Okay.
It could, but it was a good movie.
Okay. What would be better? What would make it better?
Dick not being an idiot.
Okay.
For real.
Okay.
That entire scene where he dies before that could have gone a completely different way if he put thought into what he was gonna do once he showed up. He had the whole plane ride and the whole way up there to think about how I'm gonna do this, like, what am I gonna do? But it was like, no, we're just gonna go in and wing it. Like, put a plan, man.
He's
get
a
plan
man,
in.
That's why he's a dude.
True.
Men don't think about anything.
True. It's like, men do not think.
No think, just do.
No think.
Horror movies often have characters that do stupid things. Shelley Duvall handled the Jack situation, I think, pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Knock him out, drag him to a...
She should have bashed his caps.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she didn't want, like, seriously...
No, I know. I know.
How would she know a ghost would let him in?
No, I know. There's no way she could have known.
I
just
think
she should have taken...
No, I agree. I love her. I don't... Like... I wouldn't have done as good in that situation.
She
could have
easily
so.
Just left him at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
And make a run for it.
I could have fixed him.
Stop. Could you detail your fixing of Jack?
I don't know. I just feel like I can't.
What do you think he needs?
I think he just needs someone supportive.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you think he has mommy issues or daddy issues or both?
He needs both.
Daddy issues.
Both.
He needs somebody to support his alcoholism.
He just has no. I think that's the point. He doesn't need that.
Oh, okay. Are you reading your review?
Is everybody else finished?
I don't know. I'm done, I think.
Okay. Something that I noticed, like, really close to the beginning is that Shelley Duvall's character Wendy dog ears her book pages, and I know that there's, like, a whole thing like that on book talk on TikTok. It's like, don't do that, you're ruining the books, but I just feel like that fits her character really well, because she's kind of, like, happy-go-lucky, like, at the beginning, at least. And even throughout the whole thing, she still tries to, like, be positive, I guess, and, like, not panic too much about everything. And I just think that just fits her character really well, and so I just like that detail. And then there's something in the whole interview thing with Jack and the guy, like, hey, you're gonna watch this hotel for the whole winter or whatever, and he's talking about the previous, like, dude that did that, or like the all that stuff, and he killed his whole family. I immediately thought of the whole It thing. It's like, kill them all, kill them all, kill them all thing from the one recent It on the TV when it's talking, when Pennywise is trying to talk to Bowers through the TV. I don't know why I made that connection, but I did, and I just thought it was funny because The Shining and It are both Stephen King things, so much, yeah. I just thought that Shelley Duvall in general was, she's just adorable, I think. Like, I don't know, there's just something about her that is just adorable, and I kind of just want to squeeze her cheeks and give her, like, a forehead kiss. I don't know. We already talked about the whole acting with her eyes thing. The whole ride up to the hotel or whatever, Danny's kind of has his arms draped over the front seat, and Jack's driving, and Wendy, Shelley Duvall's character, is in the passenger seat. And he was talking about something, it was like cannibalism or something, and yeah, that whole thing, and Danny's like, it's okay, I saw it on TV, and so then Jack goes, yeah, see, it's okay, he saw it on TV, and so then I said, using that logic, me seeing racism would be alright if I saw it on TV. Talking about the whole, like, tricycle big wheel riding around, like, the hotel, I'd love to be able to do that. I feel like that would somehow, like, heal part of, like, my inner child. Like, I would just be able to, like, be carefree, have fun. Like, I would feel, like, so powerful because I have a little vehicle. I can drive around this huge hotel and just, it doesn't matter. As long as I don't get lost, who cares? Like, I can just have as much fun as I want. Again, with the maze thing, there's a, like, a triangle in the maze. I don't know if that's supposed to signal anything like that, but it's like the after the wide shot and it comes down into them with the maze or whatever, and they're walking back through it to get out, they walk past this like thing that's just on the side of the maze, and it's just a red triangle, and I don't know if that's supposed to signal anything, but that's something I noticed. I said something that kind of was a little bit of a spoiler maybe, but not really. I said he's a jerk and she's adorable, and I want to bash his brains in, and he's lucky that she stayed with him, like, this whole time, especially after, like, the first incident with, like, hurting Danny. Like, I don't know. Personally, I don't think I would be able to do that. Like, you just hurt my baby. I don't care if it's because you were drinking or not. There's no excuse for that. And so then there was I put in an edit in here, and I said, LOL, I forgot about that line where he says that to her, because he's like, I'm not going to hurt you, I'm just going to bash your brains in, or whatever he says, and I forgot that he said that to her, and I just said, I want to bash his brains in, so I just thought that was kind of funny that happened, and I forgot. I also love that Wendy had to take on the role of both parents, because Jack is possessed and useless, because it's just like, she's cooking, but then she's also cleaning, which is like, female roles, but then she's also, like, doing, like, the stuff in the tech stuff, trying to, like, get the phone to work, trying to get, the radio to work, getting, like, the, all that stuff. Like, she's in the radiator room when she hears, like, the scream or whatever, and she's trying to, like, I think she's trying to get the furnace to work. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there, but, like, usually men deal with, like, that kind of thing, and I just thought that that was a fun thing that she had to do both, like, parental roles. Like, I don't know. And then the whole thing with the bartender, and he goes, and, like, with Jax, like, I don't know if it's a hallucination or what's going on, or if it's, like, anything like that, but he's talking with the bartender, and the bartender's, like, letting him vent to him about Wendy, and is, like, how Wendy's ruining everything, and, like, all that stuff ever since she came into his life, and all that stuff, and so then he says women, you can't live with them, and you can't live without them, and so then I just said the same thing, but I just changed it to men, you can't live with them, and you can't live without them, because why? There's no reason for you to say that, like, and if I switch the roles, you just, you see, hear how stupid that sounds. I love the gold room scene, because it's like the gold ballroom kind of thing where they can fit like the 300 whatever people in there. I thought it was a really pretty scene. Like, I don't know. It's just, I like ballrooms. There's something about them that I like a lot. And then in that, the room 237, sorry, where Danny gets choked by the woman, but it's not a woman. It was actually Jack that like abused him in there. I love the furniture and the carpet coloring in that room because it's like, it's purple and it's like a weird greeny mint color, and I just, those colors are ugly, but they go together really well, and I would honestly get a carpet like that for my house because it just, I don't know, there's something that's so nice about it to me, and it's just kind of like satisfying to look at, and given that it's like, it's like a vintage kind of thing, I love vintage stuff, so I like it. I thought it was a nice kind of difference between, like, the other colors of the hotel, given that, like, most of the carpets in the rest of the hotel are, like, red. And then they said something that could be taken as questionable, because that whole woman that's in the room when Jack goes to investigate and they start making out, her nipples sit nice on her body. Like, I'm self-conscious about my body and my whole thing, and, like, her boobs sit nice and her nipples sit nice, and it's just like she's great. I love that for her. I think castration is a good punishment for Jack, but I feel like what he got at the end during the freezing to death was good. And as I said, this is where I realized that Tony is a trauma response. I don't know how I didn't realize that sooner. Then, when she bashes him in the head with the bat, knocks him out, and, like, drags him into the storage room, and he starts trying to, like, guilt trip her to, like, let him out again. He's like, I think you hurt my head real bad. I need a doctor. Womp womp. You just tried to kill me. Grow up. And then while he was in there, I noticed that there are giant jars of pickles, and I love pickles. So, that's why I put that in there. And then, when the movie went over, I was thinking, and Mia Goth is, like, looks like Shelley Duvall to me. I feel like they look a little bit similar. I don't know if it's the eyes, because they both have kind of like, I don't know if it's wider set eyes, like their eyes are kind of just, they naturally are like wider, like open, but yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
I came across a couple of interesting trivia things. One was the tennis ball that rolls into one of Danny's toys. That took 70 shots.
God. I'm like, what?
And the elevator shot with the blood only took 3 shots, but it took them a year to make it.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Wait, to make
the elevator blood.
Just that scene?
Mm-hmm.
Took them a year and 3 shots.
How long did the movie take? I don't know. And apparently Scatman Crothers, he broke down to tears with all of those reshoots, and then his next movie was with Clint Eastwood, and Clint Eastwood usually gets stuff in like one take, and so at the end of his first scene on that movie, he burst into tears, because he's like, oh, thank God.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And apparently, Shelley Duvall says that she would never want to go through that experience again, but she wouldn't trade it for anything else either. Hmm. So.
How much did she get paid?
Oh, that's not a good
enough,
question.
Probably.
Oh, for real, like, the compensation for that trauma? Which, like, I don't think there's enough money in the world for that.
Speaking
now, compared to how much, like, Jack made.
Oh, yeah.
How much?
Especially God, since, especially since it was the '80s and like females didn't get like paid as much as the males did. Yeah.
Like it's her net worth is pretty low.
Well, she's not in that much either.
No, I know.
Because like she also didn't, she wasn't in that much, especially after like this whole thing with this movie. Her brother, I think, ended up with like some kind of cancer, and so she ended up packing up and moving back to like Texas or whatever, and that's why she's like, she's just been living there and like being with her family and stuff rather than acting.
I can't find how much she got paid for The Shining. Her net worth is like the only thing that comes up.
I was looking at her her performances. She's in mm-hmm. more than I thought she was, actually.
Hmm. I have to go.
Okay. You gonna go? Did you wanna
I have like a couple
tell us
minutes.
Anything? For you?
What, like?
I don't know. Okay, so we're done with The Shining. Do you wanna
say your movies that you've watched?
I don't know if I've watched anything. I've just been watching shows recently. Kind of just watching the same stuff.
BoJack Horseman?
Okay, I started rewatching. It's so bad. I don't know what's going on recently. I'm just like, I can't finish any show I've been watching. Like, I started rewatching BoJack Horseman. I started rewatching Adventure Time. I started rewatching Gilmore Girls, and The Good Place. I don't know what's going on with any of them.
And so you just jumped to something new?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah. I haven't been finishing anything. Yeah. But that's, like, basically all I've just been doing is, like, watching bits of shows. I haven't finished What We Do in the Shadows either, and I forgot that I didn't finish it. I don't know what's going on, but...
Okay. Is there any new stuff?
Place. News?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so. I haven't been seeing anything.
Okay.
There's something I can think of.
I didn't watch a lot. I don't think I mentioned this last week. A Haunting in Venice.
I think you.
Did I mention that? Last
I think
week?
You.
Is that a show
I think
that
I did.
You like started watching or something?
It's a movie. It's a Agatha Christie Perot. Movie, so it's like the third one. The first one was.
Oh yeah, you did mention that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, then I watched Die Hard Part 2 as a Christmas movie.
Is it good?
It's not good. It pales in comparison to the Bruins of the original. Oh, we're supposed to be doing a potluck.
I was just gonna ask. About that. Okay. Are we doing it?
Yeah.
Are we gonna order food or are we just gonna bring in food?
What do you want to do? I like bringing in food, but we can order if you want.
I'm fine with bringing stuff.
Okay, so bring stuff. I will do meatballs, if that's okay. Okay, maybe I'll make some fresh bread. What?
I don't know.
Think,
bring
I guess,
in.
No, it's just
I'll try. To bring in, maybe I'll try to bring.
Bread,
I don't think
bread,
I can bring in like
yes,
food.
Yes, I have.
Though.
Yeah.
This weekend.
Okay, you've never brought in fresh bread and brought it in for the as a potluck thing.
Okay,
so.
I will make bread and I'll bring bread in. Okay.
What kind of bread?
I usually do mostly white with a little bit of whole wheat.
What's your favorite bread?
Like, brand or style?
Style.
Bread.
I like a really good brioche.
Oh, brioche is
good. Yeah.
Sourdough.
What's your favorite?
Sourdough.
Sourdough's your favorite? Okay. I've never made sourdough. I have to do a starter.
I feel like it's hard to make.
Yeah, you gotta have, like, this gross little...
Yeah, like the starter
yeah.
thing. Yeah, my friend's dad used to make it, and he always had, like, the jars out
yeah.
with, like, the starters. Anyways.
Bye. Okay, bye! I think I watched something else. But I don't want to fall. Okay.
That's why it's important to log it on Letterboxd.
I know!
That's the best part of watching a movie, is putting it in Letterboxd.
Is it?
It is.
Yeah, I always forget.
Which is ironic, I feel.
Okay. Do you do reviews?
Or do sometimes,
okay.
not often.
Okay. Are they clever?
Not usually. It's usually just me saying that someone's hot.
Oh. How often do you say that? Every
not
time.
Often.
Do you find a hot person in every movie?
Usually.
Yeah.
Usually.
Did you do a review for The Shining?
No.
No. Okay. All right. What have you watched?
Meh. Mm-hmm. Not really anything. I watched Santa Claus is Coming to Town, like the stop motion one, and then Elf, and that's it.
Okay. Too much English homework? Okay.
I watched Le Petit Nicolas in my French class, which is basically like French Die for Wimpy Kids. So that should basically tell you what you need to know about it.
Okay. Brilliant. No?
Eh.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to watch part of it too in a French class. I didn't understand what was going on.
You had like English subtitles with it, so I just read that the whole time.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Okay. Have you watched anything?
You assume I watch TV.
I'm not assuming, because I asked a question.
I don't watch TV.
Okay.
I don't like watching TV.
Are you reading anything? Okay, why are you here if you hate TV?
I don't enjoy watching TV as a pastime. I read most of the time, listen to music.
Okay.
And isolate myself in my room because I hate people.
Okay, but why are you at a film podcast then?
Because I like this person.
Oh, okay.
But she came to watch the movie on Thursday. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering why she is bothering to come watch movies if she hates watching things.
I can watch a movie once in a while.
Okay.
Right. Don't judge me.
Okay, what are you reading?
Many things.
Okay, tell us one.
Lord of the Flies.
Okay. On your own?
The Ghost of Christmas Past.
I thought it might be for a class. I just started it with my class.
I don't have English this semester.
Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't want to assume.
You're assuming a lot of things.
I just said I didn't want to assume! Okay. Fine. Are you liking Lord of the Flies?
Oh, no. Are you?
I think it's a fantastic one.
Take into consideration that and what you've known of me in the past hour and some odd minutes, and come to your own conclusion.
Okay.
Would I like Lord of the Flies?
Yes.
There you go. You have your answer.
Okay. Why are you making me assume when you don't want people to assume?
Because I like causing people pain.
Okay.
And annoying them, because it brings me a sense of joy.
Well, you must have a lot of practice, because you're very good at it.
Oh, yeah. I do have a lot of practice.
Noreen, what have you been watching?
Okay, I didn't say what I watched for the podcast for last week, and which was Coherence, but anyways. I watched No Hard Feelings, which...
You rated that many times.
I did?
You're very indecisive.
Oh, yeah, I changed it a lot, because I'm like, hey, it was kind of hoop, but, you know, I'm going to be generous. Anyway, and so the guy in that movie, I do not know the actor's name, I just know that... the girl that plays Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games is in it, whatever her actress name
Jennifer
is.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. She's in it. And then there's this dude that kind of looks like Mr. Yando in it, and he is the guy that she kind of has, like, to seduce, I suppose. I don't know. And so I go, Mr. Yando, what are you doing here? Because I could literally just, he sounds like Mr. Yando, he looks like Mr. Yando, that is literally Mr. Yando. I didn't know he had a film career. Anyways.
What, he is very dramatic. What's the name of the actor?
I don't know. Here,
What's the name of the movie?
No Hard Feelings. It came out this year, actually. Anyways, the best part of this movie was the dog. This movie was not that good. It was kind of...
Is it that guy?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I wrote something. I do have hard feelings after watching this. Then I watched Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. And there's just something that I find so funny that if you watch the interviews and stuff for this movie, it's funny because this is the movie where Jason Isaacs' character, Draco's dad, kicks Dobby down the stairs. And so behind the scenes in an interview or whatever, Jason Isaacs is talking, and so the guy, he like moves his foot a certain way, and so the one person calls out Jason slip, like it's wet on the floor, can we get this cleaned up? And Jason goes, oh no I didn't, and then goes, what was that? And he goes, oh, I kicked Dobby down the stairs. So that's how that happened. Unpopular opinion, Tom Riddle is not hot. A lot of people find him hot. I do not. He's just a scrawny white boy with dark hair.
Draco talk.
No, I think I'd rather have Tom Riddle than Draco, to be honest. Draco's just a little, like, insolent, spoiled brat. Ugh, and I don't even like Tom Felton, so it's kind of just... lose-lose scenario. And then I watched Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban because they were on TV in kind of like order. And then Singing in the Rain from 1952 was on TV, and so I watched it for the first time. And I love Gene Kelly so much. I just think he's gorgeous to look at, and he's so talented. Like, he can sing, he can act, he can dance. He's a really good dancer, by the way. And he's just, I don't know, I feel like he is actually, like, a charismatic kind of dude. Like, given the fact, like, it's the 50s, and it's just, like, they're supposed to, like, you didn't make my dinner in time, and like the late the wise. I feel like he wouldn't. Like, I feel like he's an actual human being considering for that time period. And the one lady that is in this, I don't know the actress's name, but she has a really annoying, like, high pitched voice, and it's like really whiny and nasally, and it's just like, and I can't stand him. And she talks like that, and I can't. I every time she came on screen and talked, I cringed a little bit. So I really enjoyed Singing in the Rain. I gave it a 3.5. It's okay, you know, it's a classic, but it's not like jaw-droppingly special. And then I watched The Last Hour of What's Eating Gilbert Grape. That was a thing.
Damn, it's snowing again.
Yeah, you snow.
No,
snow.
Watch it, just doesn't stay though. Yeah, that's everything.
Okay. All right. And on Thursday, we're going to watch Krampus. I think that's what we decided.
I think it was between Krampus and Violent Night. Ayla and I are Team Violent Night.
Yeah. Is it available anywhere?
I know it's on Crave.
I do not have Crave.
I have Crave. I need something to call in.
Okay.
Well,
we could just use a totally legal website if you want.
Whatever. Okay. So,
options.
I would rather watch Krampus because it's a good movie.
I love Krampus. Stop. Krampus is awesome.
Violent Night is a good movie.
It is not.
Yes,
right there. No.
Yes, I love Krampus. Krampus is awesome.
Have you seen either? No. Okay.
Oh, you
have you seen Krampus?
No.
Okay. Krampus is.
Oh no, it's not.
I love Krampus.
It's fun. It's not a chef kiss.
No, more of a half one.
It might be like a McDonald's, like, short order cook kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... But yeah. It's a good movie. I like
it's it. A fun movie.
It's a hilarious movie.
It's a good time.
It's a good time.
Violent Night.
That's
is
what
a
you should
time.
Put for your...
You've not seen it!
It's a good time.
You should get a t-shirt. Mm. No, that would probably not be a
yeah.
good message to have on a t-shirt. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's it. Thank you.
Bye.